Okay, well, these verses in Philippians, just move this out of the way a little bit, are a lovely way to finish the sermon series that we've been doing, being a Christ-like community, because they're just full of, they're all about having concern for each other and sharing with each other in our troubles. And that's so important, isn't it? Because life is full of troubles. If there's one thing that's guaranteed in life, it's that troubles will come. And as Mark mentioned, Paul was going through some troubles. He was in jail. Things were difficult for him. But look what happened. It would help you to look in the Bible passage. So open your Bible at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Or go to the WhatsApp and just look at the Bible verses there. If you look at verse 10, we see what happened, Paul's experience when he was in trouble, when he was in jail and things were very, very difficult for him, when he was lonely and in need. He says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So he rejoices deeply that they were concerned for him. It touches him. It reaches his heart. It really moves him this knowledge that he was in their thoughts, that they're looking out for him, that he's all on his own in Rome, but someone's got his back. This church, they're caring for him. Circumstances had stopped them showing their concern. Most probably he's referring to the slowness of communication in the ancient world. They probably for a long while didn't know what had happened to him or where he was or how he was doing or what his situation was, but the news had come and they were able to renew their concern for him, and he is glad. He's so glad that they're showing concern. And as I was reading this passage and thinking about and trying to get in Paul's head and thinking, yeah, he must have been really glad, I felt glad when I thought of you, our girl, because I know that you show concern for one another when you are in need. And I'm often glad because I often see you caring for each other. And at the conclusion of this series, I want to say to you, well done, Argyle. Well done. You are good at this. You are good at showing concern for one another. And as a pastor, I see many things behind the scenes in church life, right? But so many times behind the scenes, quietly, people come up to me and they say, "I think so-and-so is struggling. I think this person is in trouble. I think they're in need. I think they're in difficult circumstances. How can we help them? I have some ideas. Can we do this for them? Can we do that for them?" And it's so encouraging to see that. And it happens often. You guys really have concern, genuine concern for one another. Many of you know that Claire's been unwell for quite a while now with anxiety. And it's been so moving to me to feel your concern and to see your concern for Claire and the things that you've done. Sending flowers, praying, cooking meals, sending a note of encouragement, and so on, so on. It means a great deal. Thank you, our girl. Keep up the good work. You're a great church at renewing and reviving and continuing your concern for one another. But if you look back at verse 10, notice that he says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord." So he's really, really pleased that their faith is resulting in concern for one another, because it's evidence that their faith is doing something. Their faith isn't just theoretical. Their faith isn't just something, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus and that's it. Their faith has affected their lives. They are becoming more and more like Jesus. He's sort of in rejoicing in the Lord. He's saying, "Lord, I'm so happy that these Philippian Christians, they're becoming like you. They're becoming more like you." Of course, it's the Lord who shows the greatest concern for us, isn't it, in going to the cross and dying for us. So it's a very joyful introduction to this passage. And then after this joyful introduction, he moves on to talk about contentment. He's grateful for their support, but he wants them to know that he doesn't depend on material things to be happy. Because he's learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Look at verses 11 and 12. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. That's amazing, actually, that he's learned the secret of being content, because contentment is hard to find, isn't it? It's very difficult to live a contented life because of our human nature, but also because we live in a capitalist, consumerist society. The aim of capitalism and consumerism is to make you and keep you discontented. That's the aim. To make you want bigger and better and faster and shinier and newer all the time. The advertising industry, their aim is to keep you in a state of discontent. So, for example, on my wrist I have an Apple Watch, okay? It was a birthday present for my family. It cost £45 secondhand from that shop in Friar Street, CEX. And I got it for my birthday and I was really content with it. I was really happy with it. I was like, this is great. An Apple Watch is just what I wanted. It links to my phone really well. It's great. And I was contented for about a week because I went on the internet and I saw an advertisement for the latest Apple Watch, the Apple Watch Ultra, which has an extra button, which is programmable. And I kind of looked at my watch and thought, oh, my watch looks so old-fashioned compared to the Apple Watch Ultra. And I felt discontented. And then I thought, what am I doing? There's nothing wrong with this Apple Watch. It's absolutely fine. But that's what advertising does. It makes us discontent. It makes us want more and more and more all the time. So it's hard in our society, isn't it, to be content. So what's the secret that Paul refers to? He says, I've learned the secret of being content. What is that secret? It's verse 13. Look at verse 13. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What he means is, I can do all this, I can be content in any and every situation, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, through him, that's God, giving me strength. Contentment does not come primarily through circumstances or things. According to Paul, contentment comes primarily through our relationship with God, knowing that he will give us strength for whatever we face. Let me use an example to help you understand. Imagine a newly married couple, okay? So they get married and they don't have much money. They live in a tiny, tiny flat. They don't have any savings. They can't afford to buy a car. They have to live very simply and frugally. But they don't mind. They're happy and contented. Why? Because they have each other. Their relationship and their love for each other is more important than things. That's what gives them contentment. And they get strength from that relationship. Strength so that they don't mind being poor because they have each other. And in the same sort of way, however much or little material things we have, we can be happy and content because of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God satisfies us more than our relationship with things and with money. And that strengthens us, that relationship strengthens us so that we become content. So when Paul is living in plenty, he's content. Actually, it's weird, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be content when you've got a lot, isn't it? Because the more you have, sort of the more you want to acquire. But even when Paul's living in plenty, he can resist the urge to acquire more because he's got all he needs in God. His attitude is, I have everything I need because I have the unconditional love of the Most High God. His satisfaction in God gives him the strength to resist consuming and being discontent. But when he hasn't got very much, when he's in want, as he puts it, he's also content because he's content that God will provide for him. He thinks to himself, if God provides for the sparrows, God will certainly provide for me, because I'm worth more than many sparrows. He's thinking about who he is. He's a loved child of God, and his status gives him the strength to trust God to provide, which leads to contentment. So are you content in your life? Or are you continually dissatisfied with what you've got, wishing you had more or better? I wish I had a better car, a better house, a better husband, a better wife, a better job, and so on. I wish I had more money, more shoes, more clothes, more gadgets, or whatever it happens to be. If you feel like that, the advertising agencies will be very happy, but you won't. Find your contentment in God, in your relationship with Him. Realize you have everything you need because you are accepted and secure and loved by God because of Jesus. It's great, isn't it? The secret to contentment. And I have to just look at all of you and laugh a little bit, because it looks like we're on the beach, because we're all sitting in our chairs with our hoods up, kind of thinking, this is nice. I'm thinking, why am I here? Do you know what? I can add it to my list of things. I've preached in the snow. I did an open air once and started snowing. Now I've preached in the rain. So there you go. Let's move on to verse 14. Paul says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. So the Philippians partnered with Paul in his ministry, and they not only shared in the good bits, but the difficult bits too, his troubles. So they experienced the same kind of opposition that he experienced. They gave to him financially out of their extreme poverty. We read that in 2 Corinthians 8. They invested emotionally with him. So when he's imprisoned and struggled and he's troubled, they become distressed. When he weeps, they weep. When he mourns, they mourn. And Paul is thankful for that. It helped him so much. Their sharing in his troubles was a beautiful thing for him. And it was even more beautiful because they were the only church who did. Look at verses 15 and 16. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Paul is so grateful to them. They were the ones who helped him, who partnered with him in his troubles, and who sent aid to him to meet his need. He's just full of gratitude as he finishes off his letter. You can almost imagine as he pens it or he dictates it to a scribe, a few tears coming from his eyes as he thinks how they helped him. He deeply values their friendship, their support. He has loads of affection for them. He feels their affection for him. And I think we need to hear how grateful he is so that we realise how important it is to meet one another's need, how it affects us so deeply and so wonderfully. You know, there's only one thing worse than being in dire need, and that's being in dire need and having no one. But the Philippians came to Paul in his hour of need. And again, as I finish off this sermon, and as I finish off this series, I want to say to you, Argyle, you do this. You are good at this. You are good at coming to each other when you are in need. A few examples that I've heard about, I won't mention names, but one of you received some bad news, and a couple of you went round to the person's house with pizza to break the news and then eat with the person to comfort them. That's wonderful. Someone had to go abroad, and he was stressed because he couldn't clean his kitchen in time, and a group of you went round and helped him clear up the kitchen to take that pressure off him, so he was able to leave and not be worried. And I know that when people are ill, you go around and you see and you visit and you bring flowers and cards and so on. There's so much of that. So well done, Argyle, and I want to say to you, keep up the good work. Your concern for one another, your meeting of one another's needs, is, as verse 18 puts it, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as I look at these people in front of me, your people, I say thank you. Thank you that as I compare their lives to the lives of the Philippians that Paul is writing about, they compare so well. Thank you for the love that there is in Argyle. Thank you that this is what a Christ-like community does. Meets each other's needs, shares in each other's troubles, comforts one another when we're struggling. I feel privileged to be part of this church, Lord. I pray that you continue to bless us and help us grow in this respect, supporting each other. Thank you for this time here. Please continue to bless us here in Pangbourne as we finish off the service and as we eat together later on. In Jesus' name, Amen.